Because I
How
love
did you
karma.
turn this, are you into that, into a would you rather?
So
Okay.
I have a would you rather, but really it's an are you into that? But I can frame it as a would you rather. Okay, so something new on the horizon. It's not just leggings, but make the leggings go all the way up to your arms, over your shoulders, bodysuits. 1991
Yeah.
has come
Those are
back.
back.
Bodysuits. It's a thing where you just wear a bodysuit. Would you rather do that, or would you rather throw yourself out of a building? Because, oh my gosh, I can't even.
No, that's a nightmare.
Bodysuit. I'd literally rather go outside naked.
Me too. At least then people would look away. They think a bodysuit, they might linger, like, what's happening under there?
Wow, I wish I had her confidence. Way to be yourself. Hey, ladies, welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is a show that helps you love your actual life so that you don't need to run away from home. Here, we believe that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. And I can tell you that I just did all that from memory because I am on vacation and I didn't bring my little sheet. So be impressed, okay? I made it up, but that doesn't mean I have it memorized. But I guess I do. So, winning. My name is Emily Thomas. I don't think I said that. I just want to tell you how much I love this community and how thankful I am for you. This is a statistic. Every minute, there are 973,000 podcasts that are created. That's not actually true, but it feels like it, right? Like the fact that you even found this is kind of amazing. How do you even find this podcast? So thanks for listening. I hope that you will love it. I hope that you learn a lot on this episode, and I hope that you love being here. I just got a message from someone this week who said, I just found the podcast. I had no idea. I thought I was the only one who didn't think motherhood was always super fun. Well, listen, sister, you are not the only one. Don't none of us think it's fun all the time? It is so rewarding, and it is so hard, and it is so amazing, and it is so much the worst. It's all the things at once. So if you feel like you identify with that, we are so glad you're here. So bodysuits. Would you wear one? Would you rather be naked so people would look away? Would you rather jump out of a building? Times are stressful. So let us, me and my sister, being ridiculous, make you laugh. You can pay us to laugh at our expense. We're okay with it. Join for any amount of money at patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. It's a really great way to support content makers who you love. Patreon Struggs get a Facebook group. They get a decal. This is Mom Struggling Well. You even can have an interview with me where I ask you a couple questions. I mean, ladies, dreams really do come true. Go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. Sign up and you'll get two extra shows a month, plus all that other stuff. Okay, so this week on the show, Ruth Cho Simons and I talk about a lot of really good stuff. Ladies, I know you know who Ruth is. She's an amazing artist. She's got a lot of wisdom. She's just a real wise, godly woman. We talk about what it's like to quarantine with six boys, heavens, how to conflict with kids well, how she handles negative thoughts, and what her family devos actually look like. So let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Ruth. Good morning, Ruth. How's it going?
So good. I'm so glad to be on your show, Emily.
Thank you. So you mentioned being in your car. I think that's so
Yes.
funny. I can imagine. Do all six of your sons, they still live at home?
They do. And my oldest, it just started college. Well, this was his first year of college. He decided his first year to be local and take a scholarship here locally. So he was still sleeping at home, but gone all day, every day until the quarantine time. So
okay.
now suddenly in the last 2 months, these seven guys showed up to the dinner table like three times a day expecting to eat. And I was like, that's a lot of food, people.
Yeah,
You know?
you're still here. Wow.
Oh, man.
So I just want to talk about how has quarantine been with seven men?
Yeah. You know, I keep feeling like in some ways it's been the sweetest time. In other ways, I mean, I'm kind of thinking I'm a fairly mature Christian, and I don't feel like I'm mentally 100% all the time. And I'm thinking, man, I just, whenever I feel that way, I'm like praying for others who don't know Jesus, because I know Christ, and I'm like still kind of having bad mental days sometimes, you know, and just having a hard time feeling like I'm hopeful or joyful. And so it's been hard. It's definitely been hard. The boys fight a lot more, of course. And I think all of us, and this is everybody around the country and around the world, sometimes we just act out of how we feel and we don't know what's wrong. We can't name it or label it. It's great when somebody says, well, let's label this. We're all going through loss. Well, that's true. But sometimes kids can't say that. They just go, I'm just mad. I'm just super mad that I'm feeling bummed today. And so it's been really good for us to work through a lot of those things. But it's been sweet as well, because, you know, we've gotten a lot more time together. And I don't know how many more days I have with my newly 18-year-old. You know, I don't know how much I'm going to get to spend time with him like this in the future. So
yeah,
it's been sweet as well.
That's so good. I did want to ask about that with conflict resolution. So I have two, they're a boy and a girl. So I feel like it's a completely different world than what you've got going on. Like, when do you step in? When do you just say, may the best man win? Like,
right?
How do you know how to resolve conflict?
You know, my oldest is 18 and my youngest is just turned 7, and it's 6 boys. And so what I would have said to you 8 years ago, 10 years ago is a little different than what I say now, because I have different expectations of boys who, you know, when the youngest is 7, but he's got older brothers who are practically adults. My expectation's different for how long they argue, how they break it up, that kind of thing. You know, when they were younger, for sure, there was a lot of role playing. So as in like, hey, I'm going to make you go back outside and come back in and ask that question again, or let's repeat. And they would roll their eyes and be like, what? We got to redo this whole thing. And I go, yeah, you're going to literally redo this whole exchange about who gets what Lego today. You know,
yeah,
we're going to do this whole thing. And I'm like, if you guys want to fight about it, we're going to take the next 20 minutes to entertain ourselves and keep role playing. So if you've got littles, I actually think it's a pretty decent way to go, because you're asking them to re-say it, not just be like, well, you should say it nicely. Okay. Well, no, you actually now need to go re-say it and find a better way to communicate what it is that you're trying to say.
That's a great point. Older,
so we did a lot of role playing. And I mean, it's hilarious, but Troy and I, we would like reenact it in front of them. So, you know, it takes time. Emily, this is not like fun. I'm not saying like I have all the time in the world. You just prioritize some of those things early on, so that I always say this, you normalize repentance, you normalize the conflict, and you make it so that it's not like, whoa, we had to stop everything and resolve a conflict. No, that's basically family and life, and
yes,
all fellowship is resolving conflict. So if you normalize that and early on and go, you guys are fighting? Yeah, I'm not going to lose my cool over it. We kind of always fight. Mom and dad fight too, you know? So we got to figure out what we do now. So Troy and I would like sit them down, and he and I would like take on one of the kids, and we'd reenact exactly the way they said it first time. And then we reenact the way they do it again. So thespians here, you know?
Yeah, but, no kidding.
But now that they're older, I will say, you know, they have really good examples. And sometimes the preteens in our home aren't always the very best examples. They lose their cool, but they always know where to come back to. So like, they have good examples. So I don't tolerate as well. Like, I don't take the time to reenact everything anymore, because I'm like, you know what? You have really good examples. You see this in action. So I literally just ask them, literally, was that an appropriate way to, you know, discuss that or whatever? And most of the time, even the 7-year-old will be like, no. I'm like, were you happy? Were you happier because you yelled at your brother? No. Did you actually get what you want? How's that working out for you? You know? So we have a lot more of those conversations now.
Yeah, that's so good. Because I think for moms with kids who are really little, you don't feel like they're ever going to really actually get it.
You don't. And I think that was the number one thing that I had to learn. You know, I'm not the most experienced mom. I've just had 18 years experience. And I would say I've never had girls. I'm, you know, I've had all these boys. But what I've learned over time is that the more I stop thinking that this is supposed to be a one and done activity, like I should be able to like say it one time, show you how to fold your towels the one time, pair socks the one time, how to clean your room the one time, and forevermore, you should make sure you have it down, and then get really mad when you didn't listen to me that one time. No, it's really, motherhood really is not only a marathon, but it's also, that's the job. Training is the job, you know, like the training, the like having a relationship, the progress. We keep thinking that motherhood is about the arrival, but it's really not. It's really about the process. And the more I stop thinking that my best motherhood days were the days where I stopped having to do the job and I got there faster, the more I actually was fulfilled in motherhood, which if you read my profile, you see the word unlikely, because I always throw that in there because people love to say, oh, you must have six kids because you're so good at this. And I always just look at them puzzled, like, who's good at this? Nobody. It's like, who is like, wow, I'm so good at changing diapers. I'm so good at breaking up fights. And I just can't wait to pick up Cheerios off the ground. You know, nobody. And so it's God changing our hearts when we stop trying to put our agenda into the work we've been given.
Yeah. Gosh, it's so good. I was reading the other day, I don't remember what book, but Paul was saying to maybe the Philippians, it's no problem for me to remind you of this. And yeah. I thought, wow, in motherhood, when I have to remind somebody, it is a giant problem for me because I already said this. And it's just so, so humble and realistic to say, it's good for you. It's safe for you for me to remind you.
Right.
It was so convicting. So
totally. I'm glad we got to mention that because I think that's one of those big myths in motherhood is that good moms can say it one time and like the rest of the family just naturally is inspired to clear the table and like actually take the lint out of the dryer. No, it's like you're training them. You've got to, you know, you've got almost 2 decades before they're out of your home to like actually teach them how to respond as a human being, how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with responsibility. And so I'm saying that because I don't do it perfectly. And it's been a really long journey learning to be okay with the process and not just aim for the arrival, you know.
Do you ever struggle with finding toys for the little one in your life that they will think are cool, but will also educate them at least a little bit? Get the best of both worlds with Little Passports. Little Passports is a subscription box full of toys and games for children of all ages that educates and entertains. Every month, Little Passports will deliver right to your door an exciting hands-on learning experience for kids 3 and up. My kids are on the older side, and we receive their Science Expeditions pack, which is full of cool experiments to try. This summer, you can learn about what makes every state so great with the USA edition, and there are even boxes for the younger ones that are right at their learning level. Little Passport sent everything in a really cool backpack that my son carries around everywhere. Little Passport subscription box is award-winning and has the parent-tested, parent-approved seal. For $12.95 a month, there's tons to explore right from your own home. And just for our listeners, Little Passport is offering 15% off the price of any subscription. That means your child could be flying rockets or looking through a microscope in no time. Use offer code MSW at checkout for 15% off your order. That's MSW at littlepassports.com. So something that you have been like from afar since we've never actually met, but I love your, when you talk about preaching to yourself, and I know you got that from some guy.
So many people, right? Martin Lloyd-Jones has talked about it. Jerry Bridges has talked about it. Paul David Tripp still talks about it. So many good Bible teachers have written about it. I think one of the first people really was Martin Lloyd-Jones, you know, but that's only because I haven't read too much further back. So, So I think, yes, I certainly did not make that up.
But just the concept of, yeah, we can't just listen to ourselves. We have to actually talk to ourselves and set ourselves straight, just the way we would with our children. Right. And I love that. I don't know. Can you just maybe share what that looks like working out practically?
Sure. Well, and I take that back and say, you know, I think the originator of all that really is like, the psalmist is David. You know, throughout the Psalms, that's where you see the pattern of like, why are you so downcast, my soul? He's talking to himself. I mean, that really isn't a question he's throwing out there. The recipient of that question is his own soul. You know, he's talking to himself in so many of the Psalms when he's afraid, when he's discouraged, when he wants to die. Like, oh, so many times he's like, all right, what do I need to now remember? And so obviously, I don't think David said, I'm going to preach to myself, but he does it. He shows us how to do it. And so, you know, I think we underestimate how much as moms, we wake up with a narrative going on with already sentences filling our minds. Like, you know, I'll never get caught up with the laundry, or, oh, today is going to be so annoying because they're going to fight all day long. I'll never have time to myself. Whatever it is that kind of lingers and kind of repeats over and over in your mind, or other moms would be more organized than I am, and I'm such a loser the way I do things. I think the only way you can combat that, because that's nobody else's fault. I mean, if you're on Instagram and you are comparing, that's really not the other person's fault. That's what you choose to do with your time and your heart and how you're processing those things. But you do have a choice. You do have a choice about what you're going to say back to those thoughts and those feelings. And so for me, I mean, throughout the day, I have to literally stop and say, okay, Ruth, you are literally acting like a clean house is your entire happiness right now. You are acting like if these kids do not pick up everything right now, then you will be a grump for the rest of the day. Like that's my act. That's what I'm portraying. And I stop myself and I go, is your soul really going to be happier because your house is clean? No, your job is to train up the kids to clean the home. And yes, we want a clean house so we can enjoy family night tonight, but your happiness is not tied to it. So what is your happiness tied to, Ruth? We're like, what are you actually made for? Are you made to be, to come alive because your house is clean? That's not what God created you for. You're made to come alive because Jesus made you. God made you, and he made a way so that you do not have to be separated from God. So I remind myself the basics of the gospel. I'm kind of like, okay, well, let's come back to this, because if Jesus died so that I could simply avoid hell, then that's not the gospel. That's not good enough. So he literally rescued us so that we might even have power today as moms, so that we might like worship him and not a clean house, that we might worship him and not whether or not the kids are fighting or not, whether they're obedient, whether they embarrassed us at the grocery store. You know, that tries to steal our joy. Whether we succeed or not in those areas, literally threaten to steal my joy every day. So I have to go back and remind myself what I'm actually created for, what the Lord has rescued me from, namely the idolatry of all these other things that I want so bad in my life. Remind myself where my hope actually comes from. And so I'll tell you, there's not a day that goes by that I don't have to do that. It's not like, again, it's not a one and done thing. It's not like, wow, I'm saved, and so now I've got a really great attitude every day. No, I have to go back and remind myself day by day, what do I really believe and why does that matter?
Yeah. And I think it's hard because when we're focused so much on whatever it is we're idolizing, for me, it's a clean house too. I think when we think of, Jesus came and he saved me from my sin to, you know, that I could have an abundant life and all it doesn't feel like it matters because it's almost grown dim because we're so focused on the other that feels like where yes. life is found. And so I think the constant reminding of ourselves of what's actually true actually does make our hearts quicken when we think of the Lord and those types of things. But I think it's not uncommon for us to be like, I just am not feeling that as my source of joy right now.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's that remembering that there is no condemnation when we're in Christ. So no, you don't have to sit there and wallow and say, wow, I really dropped off my Bible reading. The Lord will never want to talk to me again. And that's why I'm a bad mom. That's condemnation. That's not from the Lord. But at the same time, how are you going to remember the truth of why your hope is in Jesus if you never read and remind yourself of your hope in Jesus? So those of us who stay away from the word because we're too busy, too tired, or we think that God doesn't want to speak to us, well, that perpetuates more anemia. Like we're more lacking. We'll stop remembering. We'll kind of go off our feelings. So you do have to go back to the word. This is not just some like mumbo jumbo where we're talking to ourselves like, no, Ruth, you really are pretty awesome. Stop worrying. You know,
that buck up, that camper.
Doesn't cut it. No. Does that work for you, Emily? It doesn't work
sure
for me.
Doesn't.
So let me just show you like the exact pattern. The pattern is I yell about something. Let's say it's about the house. And I'm like, oh, I am so stinking upset that we leave things out all the time. Why can't I just take the afternoon off and have a clean house? And then I stop and I go, okay, seriously, the gospel does matter here, because if the gospel doesn't matter right now, then I don't know what it's, you know, like, why does it matter that Jesus saved me, like saved me from this exact moment of the sinfulness here? So I confess and say, Lord, you literally died for this moment. You died for the fact that I am like fussing and yelling and being frustrated. So remind me that the cross literally paid for this. And I don't want to keep on sinning. And really, quite frankly, he gave me eternal life even right now because Christ is in me. And so everything I need for a life in godliness and happiness is not found in this house. Lord, I don't feel it right now. So let me remember who you are, what you've done. And Lord, I'm going to turn to your word and just remind myself what a simple thing to do would be, just to even turn to the Psalms and say, remind me what somebody else said to himself when he was down, when things weren't turning out the way he wanted it to, when he was afraid and frustrated. And the reminder there is God's been faithful. He's always been faithful. And he plucked you out of darkness. He is your everlasting hope. His mercies are new every morning. Those things are not just sweet little platitudes that Ruth paints for Gracely's shop. It's like actually reminders that we really need. We really need to say, like, that moment of hope, it's not just for Sunday mornings. It's for the worst parts of my day.
Yeah, it isn't for when the house is clean. It's for when the house is not clean.
And that's really how Gracely's even started, was that I actually had to meditate on those truths. And one of the ways I could do it was do it through painting, and something I enjoyed doing while the kids were finishing up their assignments and we were sitting at the table. And so I'm grateful that that's something I had to learn kind of the hard way, that, you know, those scriptures aren't memorized just so that I can feel good about having some scriptures memorized. I need to recall them and actually apply them and preach them back to myself when I'm the opposite.
Yeah. Well, and I think some preachers, you know, there's like the hellfire and brimstone, and you're all gonna, you know, that is one way that if you have like a really strong inner critic preaching to yourself, we could be calling it that, but really we're just berating ourselves or, you know, whatever. And I think
don't have good examples of good preaching. That's true.
Yeah. And so I think, I don't know, preaching to ourselves is, what would God say? What is he saying? Not what do you think you need to be doing better?
Well, let's think about some of the good examples of sermons, right? Like, I mean, I think Psalm 23 is a really good sermon to your heart, right? Mm-hmm. It's a good reminder of who God is, what he's done for you, how he will keep you. That's a good sermon. I think about the book of Acts, and I think about the sermon preached there. I mean, there's like a recollection of what God has done from the beginning of time with the people of Israel, right? And ultimately saying, and so now, through all that, look what he's doing now. So sometimes on a stubborn day, maybe you need to go all the way back and say, wow, when a stubborn and seemingly hopeless people kind of kept trying to do it their way, God was patient and kept giving them opportunities to turn to him. Ruth, you're being really stubborn and you want to do it your way, but that's never worked before. So why don't you turn to God then? And so those are sermons to preach to yourself. Preach what's already been done through Christ, through the God of the Bible, and don't make up your own theology here, you know, like preach what's already been said and done and remind yourself what is true.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's good to remember where you feel tense. Like for me, I like accomplishing. And so when I feel like all we're doing in our home is making a mess and going backwards and doing nothing, like my children relax, like it's their actual job. They're amazing. And relaxing, and I'm like, what is wrong with everything right now? But I think the concept, like you're saying, that since the beginning of time, since the beginning of everything, since before the beginning, God was at work, and he's always on the move. And so even if my children are not, and I don't feel like I'm making progress, God is, and that's what ultimately matters.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. So much to think about, especially when you're all, you know, having the opportunity to be at home.
Well, I was just about to say, this whole stay at home, shelter at home kind of has brought to the surface all my worst, you know, idols and my frustrations, because I just want to accomplish things and move to the next thing and feel like, I mean, literally yesterday, Emily, I got to the end of the day and I was just like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I'm supposed to be writing, but I'm so distracted. that I maybe cranked out like 20 words. I mean, and then I deleted 20 words and rewrote 20 words. I mean, it's the worst, right? So a little grace for all of us at this time.
Let me just tell you about Everly Well. It's the amazing at-home wellness test that helps you better understand your health. I got my Everly Well at-home lab test, and I tested myself for food allergies, and in no time I found out that I have an egg sensitivity. I had no idea. Everly Well has me feeling more positive about my health. It's exciting to have some information that I can use. So Everly Well offers more than 35 different at-home lab tests, from fertility to food sensitivity to thyroid and heart health. Each Everly Well test comes with super easy to follow instructions. It's physician reviewed and shipping is free. And the Everly Well test results are sent directly to you within just days. So to start better understanding your health like I did, check out Everly Well today. For 20% off an Everly Well at-home lab test, visit everlywell.com/MSW and enter code MSW. That's everlywell.com/MSW, code MSW for 20% off your test. Everly Well, at-home lab tests, your answers your way. I wanted to take a minute to tell you about one of today's sponsors, Noom. Noom is the habit change program that explains how your mind works so you can understand why you make the decisions you make and feel empowered to change for good. We talked very candidly on a recent Struggling Sisters episode that Katie is really looking for her clothes to fit her just right, and Noom is a program that is actually making that her reality. I use Noom as well because when I'm eating better, I feel better. My personalized coach, named Emily, asks the best questions to help me understand why I'm making the choices that I'm making. She's like a very understanding, knowledgeable, virtual ninja coach, and I love that about her. Noom has short and sweet lessons that are funny and informative. I do them in the morning, and it gives me some confidence to start the day off right. Noom will teach you about your specific eating habits and give you tools to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. But Noom isn't going to take over your life. They suggest just 10 minutes a day. If you need more than a one-on-one specialist, you also get access to a community of Noomers. Did you know that 80% of Noomers finish the program and over 60% stick to their goals for at least a year? That's pretty amazing. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/MSW. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/MSW to start your trial today. That's Noom. Noom.com/MSW. Okay, so you have mentioned, and we've kind of already talked about this, but I loved a quote that you had about how our motherhood years are not back burner years. They're actually becoming years.
Yeah.
It's such a source of, it just brings a lot of hope. I don't really know what I have to, I just wanted to say that. So now you say something.
No, I would love to speak to that. I think that quote and wherever I said that came out of a time when I personally struggled with it, but I also saw so many of my friends and others feel like everything was on hold until the kids were grown. So that said a lot, and not necessarily in a bad way. I think sometimes people say, when the kids go to school, I'll get back into such and such. That's just planning. That's not wrong to say that. But I think sometimes in our hearts, we think that we're just surviving the little years. We think, oh, I'm just kind of like biding my time until this is done, and then I'll get back to the important thing that I'm trying to do with my life. And my point is not that motherhood is way more important than anything else. Some people are not called to motherhood, and God's not given that to them, and they have just as important callings that God's given them. So it's not that this is a bigger and better and more noble thing, but if God's given that to you and He's called you to that, then don't think that the hard years, the years where you don't have time to brush out your hair and you kind of do look wrinkly and maybe your stomach is a little flabby and what you went to college for has been buried. That doesn't mean that those are wasted years or years where you're just like, wow, I lost myself. I'm challenging that. I'm challenging the sense that we have to lose ourselves in those years. I'm saying, I think that God grew me in ways that I could have never grown in those years when nothing was really obviously growing on the outside. That's why I always love to say you don't have to be blooming to be growing. Mm-hmm. Because later on in this season, people know me as Ruth Jo Simons, who's been writing these books and paint these things. But Emily, honestly, a lot of what I wrote, especially in my that recent book, Beholding and Becoming, about mundane things and things that I don't really look forward to in my day and day-to-day life, those lessons were learned in the years where I never thought I would write a book, in the years where I thought nobody would ever know that I could paint or that I was an artist. Those years, I felt like, wow, I'm giving my time away to lots and lots of diapers and a kid who has to be put back into bed like 10 times. And it just felt like, oh, am I wasting my life? And that's what I'm pushing against. Like, sisters, like literally when you feel like you're wasting your life or wasting your time, simply turn, not simply, it's difficult, turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you actually molding in me? What are you forming me to be in this season? Because I will come out on the other side while the kids, when the kids don't need me as much, something will shape me. I will become somebody in 5 years from now, whether I like it or not. It's not neutral. It's not neutral. You come out on the other side when they go off to preschool or kindergarten, or if you start a homeschool journey, whatever it is, later on down the road, it's not like you just pick up and go, oh, now let's get back and started. I'm going to be somebody else. And so you get to be part of that transformation by what you turn your eyes to every day of your life.
Yes. Oh, that's such a big deal. It's funny because I work in a kind of a hard environment. And sometimes if I'm not careful, I find that environment shaping me even more than, you know, and then it comes out at home and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that in that way or whatever. But it, yeah, it's not neutral. That's such a big thing to remember. And you don't drift upstream. Like we don't, the drifting doesn't take us where we want to go.
Totally. I mean, consider this a boy mom thing to say, but one of Troy's favorite quotes that he says to the boys is, you know, you never rise to your expectations, you fall to your training. And that's kind of like a war thing, right? You know, but I feel bad. I don't remember who actually said that first. I feel like it was somebody ancient, but anyway, it's all right.
Close enough.
Sorry. He won't come after me if I don't tag him. But the point just being that we can't just say, hey, someday when I have more money, more time, and I finally read my Bible all the way through, I'll then serve the Lord. I'll then have a good attitude. Or when my kids stop waking up in the middle of the night, then I'll stop being a grump who cusses all day long. You know, I mean, there's grace for all of us going through hard seasons. My point is just that don't be fooled. It's not neutral. We will become somebody. And so you get a choice every day how you want to do minor adjustments. We're not talking like suddenly, hey, go on some big plan to like revolutionize who you are. No, make small adjustments. What are you fixated on in your mind? What are you spending your time reading or watching? How much time are you giving to social media? What are you loving? You know, because what you love in time will shape you. And I don't know, what you fixate on really will determine what kind of person you become. And as moms, I think that can even go for if we're fixated on how other moms are doing things, right? Yes. That can shape who you become. And so it's actually surprisingly effective to just keep your eyes on what God's called you to do. I mean, I know that's not like rocket science, but it's surprisingly effective to just be faithful where you are.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, social media is really, really cool and also can be
so hard.
Hard to navigate, yeah. Okay, so I wanted to ask you, you have a book, and the one that I have right here, and I love it because it's beautiful, Foundations, and it's you and Troy wrote it, and it's 12 Biblical Truths to Shape a Family. It's a devotional. Obviously, everyone who can't see it, it's obviously beautiful, but also so practical. So I can tell you I have two books on my table where we all eat on a little tray with a candle, and this is one of them. It's just so, so good. And we go through it when we're eating. And so there's 12 biblical truths. How did you pick the 12?
Yeah. You know, they're certainly not comprehensive. And I don't know. I think the Spirit led us. I mean, ultimately the Spirit did lead, but we really just looked at, okay, fundamentally, you know, what are the 12 things that we see that shape everything about our family's life? Like, we have to start with loving God. We have to start by knowing what sin is. But ultimately, all the one another's of the gospel, all the things that we want to see the boys do, like honor one another, forgive each other, be generous, like all the things that you consider, like it, they really were the 12 things that if our children left our home with these 12 principles from God's word, really ingrained in their hearts and were things that they really understood, we'd be like, yeah, you're prepared for the future. You're ready to walk with the Lord without us hovering, hanging out, you know?
It's beautifully done visually. And also just the concepts are so, they've led to some really great, rich conversations in our house. So I'm thankful that
I'm so glad to hear that. That was totally the goal. You know, we never wanted to be like, you know, how do I put it? I don't think you have to use our devotional to do family devotions, but I think a lot of people are intimidated by it. And I think a lot of folks don't even try because they go, well, I don't know if I am equipped for this. And so we just wanted to kind of set it out there so that families could just tiptoe into it and experience what it's like to start a conversation, to tell a story, but not make it cheesy. And so if you've read it, you'll know that Troy and I take great care to not make it about kids or necessarily for kids, but it's not so complicated that kids don't understand. So we're taking the richest and deepest truths of scripture and trying to make it so accessible that a young believer parent or a non-believer parent could even like hear the gospel, and a child could start absorbing and hearing it. And you don't have to have cutesy characters or lots of examples from kid life to be able to make that happen.
No, it's masterfully done in that it accomplished exactly those things. And I love there's like a sentence to dwell on at the end of it, two questions to discuss, one verse to memorize, you know, and I don't know. It's just, I love it. So I would highly recommend this book.
Thanks so much.
I want to ask because I think that sometimes what keeps us from doing devotionals is that we've placed rules around them that are made up and shenanigans. So what do devotionals look like in your house, or what did you have to get over to actually start having them and know that they kind of quote unquote count?
Yeah. I love getting really honest on podcasts because it doesn't feel like it's in writing, even if it goes all over the world. But honestly, like one of the honest things I would say is early on, I had weird, crazy expectations and I would like get mad at Troy if he didn't like lead it a certain way. If it wasn't perfectly at a certain time every day, I'd be like, you forgot, you know? And I remember being a young mom and thinking, I wouldn't say I was legalistic about it, but I was bordering on thinking that there was some like formula for having a good, solid Christian family. Like in my mind, I was like, if we don't do it this way, we're going to ruin them forever.
Yes.
Right?
Like there's a very holy time of day. And if we've missed it.
Yes. And one of the things I will say, Troy gets a lot of things wrong, love him to death. And just like any other husband, he gets a lot of things wrong. But one of the things that he gets right is he is somebody who reminds us that God's not through with us yet. And let's just keep on persevering. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things he would say to me, because this little perfectionistic, if I can't get it right, let's not do it at all.
Yes.
Like I'm totally that way. And he comes in and says, yeah, you know what? It's been kind of a crazy season. We've been a little busy. Why don't we just start tonight? Let's just start. Mm-hmm. Rather than feel like, well, you know, I can't believe you got so mad at me. He would just be like, hey, I think it's a great time for us to get back in the word. And so he would start again. And sometimes we'd fall off and get busy. And so one of the things that would mark our family now is that there is not a set time of day every single day. And it's not every single day. We're not necessarily now during quarantine. I think everybody has a little bit more of a rhythm because there's not anything on our calendars in the evening. However, for us, sometimes it means that we're talking about it on our way to an errand. Like we're all in the car, we're all driving, and Troy will be like, hey, we're turning off the music, headphones out. If you're listening to a podcast, we're going to talk because we have a captive audience in the car. Sometimes it's like you all do at the dinner table, and Troy will sometimes share something, or I'll sometimes share something before the little ones are even done eating because, you know, they want to keep eating. So it's kind of a good way to do it, you know? So it looks so different. I think when I was a younger mom, I really thought that the kids needed to sit perfectly in the living room. Mm-hmm. And then they needed to ask for a hymnal and turn to the right page. And
shirts put their with hands collars on and no stains.
I just, in my mind, I thought, you really want to make sure you instill early on that nobody gets to roll around on the ground while we're doing this. And that's just not realistic. No. What you want, and just like it's actually beneficial for them to hear the word, even if they don't understand everything of a sermon, in the same way, if your little one has a very short attention span and is playing with Legos while you're doing family devotions, that's fine. I mean, you're working towards a time where they're more attentive. And maybe in time you say, hey, I really want you to participate more. Why don't you put that away while, you know, and you work towards that. But it doesn't have to be perfect all at once. The goal is for them to hear mom and dad and kids, to hear everybody talk about why we love Jesus. Just talk about that. You know, just talk about why today when I did this, I wasn't acting like Jesus was all, was I? Mm-hmm. And so why does the gospel matter? That's the whole goal. Why does the gospel matter? Every single day, we find ways to talk about that.
Yeah, that's good. I love it.
And it's not always Troy, right? And you were talking about roles. And I think sometimes we expect our spouse to be perfect, to have a really great attitude, to have winsome, amazingly insightful things to say. And, you know, there have been times when Troy was really moved by something. And there have been times where, I mean, we are straight out of a Hallmark movie and he is like reading scripture and sharing his heart. Tears are coming down his face.
Uh-huh.
And it's beautiful. It is like beautiful. Norman Rockwell should have painted us. sometimes it's beautiful like that. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like, does anyone care?
Anybody have anything to say? Myself included. I don't even think. Yeah.
And literally our prayer goes something like this after we read and talk. And our prayer goes something like, Lord, help us when we're so numb and tired. Mm. Help us when we're struggling to understand. And help us to start anew tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And reveal to us how we can realign our hearts with you. Because right now we're all a little worn out and not paying attention. And so, Lord, you call us to pay attention. Help us to have eyes to see. And like, sometimes you just pray like that because you're like, nobody is paying attention.
Yeah.
But even that prayer is effective just to show what really, I think one of the goals that we have as parents, Troy and I, is that we don't want to continue on what we were given as children, where somehow it was the Sunday school teacher's job to make it all come alive. No, we are living out the gospel at home because we want our kids to know that this is real right here. Mm-hmm. It's real for when we fight. It's real when we're disappointed. It's real when the bank account runs low. It's real when we're stuck at home because of a virus. You know, it's real. So how do we apply it in our real lives? This is not just Sunday. It's every day.
Yeah. Especially when it's messy, because that's when you need it.
Yeah. And I pray that that might encourage a new generation of kids who don't walk away from the faith.
No kidding.
That it becomes something that they actually had to work out, even from home in the messy times, not just think that it was fine until they got off on their own, you know? So,
yeah. And I think also for some moms whose husbands, maybe they don't know the Lord, or maybe the moms tend to carry they tend to want their children to grow up knowing about God, even if they themselves don't prioritize knowing about God. It's kind of interesting that it seems that I've seen that it tends to be the women sometimes. And so there are ways, I just want to say, to be the one who's leading, but in the leading to be lifting up your husband and all the great things that you see about him and not tearing him down with nasty side eyes and like, I don't know. We get it really wrong sometimes in our wanting for things to go so great for our family. We end up tearing our house down.
And one just good self-check for that, those moments, because all of us have husbands who at times obviously don't lead or don't do things the way we think they should, or we kind of go, oh my goodness, just give it to me. Let me do it. You know, but, I think a good self-check is to say, you know, am I complaining or nagging or fussing at him about something more than I'm praying about it? Because really, what's really going to cause change is the true change, because I mentioned it every day, 10 times a day until he obeyed and listened to me. Like, no, that's
just
not
so you'd
true.
Shut up. No, that's not
that's
true.
Not true change. True change is when God gets a hold of a heart. And so now, can God use us as wives who lovingly and find ways to say, hey, do you want to read this together? Or how can I pray for you? Or, you know, I just think it'd be really great if you met with our pastor. He might be an encouragement to you. That's not wrong to say those things. I mean, we don't just stay silent and say, fine, you know, don't, it's fine. Whatever you want to do with your spiritual life is fine. No, we care for one another. Spouses, we are one. So we want to, you know, and it's okay to encourage, but I think sometimes we don't encourage, we usurp and get fussy about things.
And we call it encouraging.
Yes, right.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's so good. You had a quote about what to do with a kiddo who's worrying you, and that, yeah, make sure to prioritize praying about them. And I don't always do that. I double down on the nagging.
Right.
It's not
right.
That effective.
I mean, I always feel like my words can change everything. Like I can get all that I want if I just talk enough. And that's just not the way it works. And the Lord humbled me to see that, like, he cares more about whether I'm talking to him about my concerns than whether I get what I want by talking it out.
Mm, that's really good. That's really good. Well, Ruth, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're amazing. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
All right, ladies, I'm sure that you love that as much as I did. I don't often re-listen to my show because I was there the first time, but I took notes on this one the second time around. She's just so, so wise. So what will your strategy to struggle well be based on what Ruth said? I love how she said that God changed her heart when she stopped putting her agenda into motherhood. So maybe you are really kind of frustrated and freaked out about what your kids are doing, but it's because you've decided what they should be doing. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe you sit with God and just say, Lord, what are you trying to do here in this situation? Because I feel like I'm literally banging my head against the wall. And let him soften your heart and change your heart. We talked about the importance of reminding, how sometimes all the reminding, shut the door, turn off the light, brush your teeth, please don't put your feet on the couch. All the reminding can make us feel like we're losing our ever-loving minds. However, ladies, if we're honest, we need reminding too. And Paul says in the Bible, it's no problem for me to remind you. But I don't know about you, but I get super tired of having to remind my children. But why? Because it's inconvenient to me. So maybe you just struggle well this week by politely and kindly and joyfully reminding your kids to do the things you've always told them to do forever, because it's good for them. And that's actually motherhood, is reminding and training and doing it kindly. So like I said, what I know Ruth for is saying preach to yourself. So maybe you struggle well this week by setting yourself straight, talking to your soul like David did in the Psalms. Tell yourself what's true. Like Ruth said, you have a choice about what you say back to those thoughts. And like she said, what is your happiness tied to? Remind yourself of the basics of the gospel. Again, reminding. We remind our kids all the live long day. We also need to remind ourselves. Preach to yourself. Maybe you struggle well this week by realizing that your life is not on hold. You are becoming something. Like Ruth said, it is not neutral. When your kids move out, who have you become during this time that feels kind of insignificant, kind of hidden? Who have you become? You are becoming something. We know that slowly but surely, if we stop working out, we are becoming a little more flabby. Or like my daughter says, when she was little, I was getting in the shower and she asked me, Mom, she was like 3, why when you stop moving, does your bottom keep moving? Sister, it's because I'm flabby. So anyway, I think that sometimes we don't think that a small change will make a difference, but we are always becoming something. We can see it with our bodies changing, but what about our souls? What are you becoming? And then finally, maybe you struggle well this week. Like she said that her husband keeps repeating, that thing you keep failing at, he just says, hey, let's just start again. We don't have to beat ourselves up about it. That's not helpful. Let's just start again. So what's that thing that you think, I am never going to be able to do this? Well, what about, hey, let's just start again. That's a kindness that we can do for ourselves. So maybe you struggle well this week by just telling yourself, hey, let's just start again. I don't know why we think we have to be our enemy What if we try being like our friend to ourselves and encourage ourselves? Let's just start again. Ladies, if you found this helpful, please share it. Please review the show on iTunes or Spotify. I don't even know if you can review it on Spotify. I'm going to be honest. But it feels like all the cool podcast kids are talking about listening to this on Spotify. So if you want to do that, listen on Spotify. But please tell your friends. Please help us get this show into more ear holes. That would be amazing. Go ahead and find me on Instagram at MomStrugglingWell. Tell me how you're going to struggle well this week. Tell me what you learned from Ruth's amazing wisdom. All right, let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, thank you for your kindness to remind us when we've lost our way. I pray that you'd help us to be that kind when we remind our children. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be that kind when we remind ourselves and preach to ourselves. Lord, I think that if we could hear you talking to us about our failures, you would just tell us, hey, let's just start again. But man, if we don't want to beat ourselves up before we start again so that we're like bloody and bruised before we get back up, Lord, would you help us this week to be kind to our children, be kind to ourselves? It's your kindness that leads us to repentance. You are a kind and good God. And would you help us to model that to our children and to ourselves? Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.